In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever heard the statement, "The struggle is real"? If you have, great. And if you haven't, that's all right. I'll catch you up to speed on it. Usually when someone says that the struggle is real, they say it in some sort of sarcastic tone. So for example, if I were to go to my wife, who's a first and second grade teacher, and I told her that teaching one section of eighth grade catechism every 2 weeks is hard, she would probably say, "The struggle is real," because she has to deal with first and second graders all day long, every week, while I have to deal with eighth graders one time every 2 weeks. But all jokes aside, we all have our struggles in life. Everyone sitting here in this room has their own burdens to bear. In our text for today, Jacob is going through his own struggles. The struggle is real when we do it our own way and when we pray just like Jacob. So if you want to grasp what is going on in our story here, you have to understand what Jacob is going through in his life. Jacob is in a bit of a predicament. What is this predicament he's in? Did he leave something at Uncle Laban's house? Did he forget to eat his dinner? No, you see, Jacob was about to meet his brother. You know that brother Esau who he stole the birthright from? But shouldn't they be somewhat excited to see each other? I mean, after all, they hadn't seen each other in probably a couple decades. But in Genesis chapter 27, we read, "Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" And Jacob knew this full well. He knew that because he deceived his dad, Esau was going to kill him. And that's the reason for Jacob running away. His mother told him to go to his uncle Laban's house. And while he was at his uncle Laban's house, he was deceived into marrying a woman he didn't want to marry. And so he stayed with his uncle Laban and he worked for him until he was able to marry the woman he wanted to marry. And for work, he tended Laban's flocks. Did you know that Jacob bred the stronger animals and kept those for himself, and he took the weaker ones and gave those ones to Laban? Another one of Jacob's deceptions worked. But there was no way that he was going to wiggle himself out of this one. Esau was coming to meet Jacob with 400 men. But instead of doing it his own way, what did Jacob do? He didn't run. He didn't hide like he did in the past. Rather, he prayed. He prayed to the God of his fathers. "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper,' I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" What a prayer. After reading this, it's kind of stunning to see how a man who was so reliant on himself is now fully relying on God. Don't we struggle with this too? You've all probably heard the song My Way by Frank Sinatra, and you might even know part of his refrain. But what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he is not. Let the record show, I took all the blows and did it my way. Brothers and sisters, how arrogant are we to think that we know how to 100% control our lives? We think we know what's best to spend our money on. We think we always know what's best for our families. And this sometimes leads us to thinking that we know what God wants for us. How arrogant for us to think that we can just rely on ourselves. But why not rely on God? Didn't he send his one and only son, Jesus, who he promised thousands of years beforehand? Didn't he also take every bit of our arrogance and pride with him to the cross? And didn't he prove that it was finished when he rose from the grave? The answer to all of these questions is yes, absolutely, you can rely on God. He didn't have a single ounce of arrogance in his body when he did this for you and for me. Even in our sinful weakness, we can rely on God. The struggle is real when we do it our own way. There are too many things that happen in our lives that show that this is true. And when we rely on God, sometimes we don't like what God has to tell us. The struggle is also real when we pray to God, just like Jacob here in our text. Jacob struggled with God in prayer, and he also struggled with God physically. Now, we don't know why the Almighty God, the creator of the entire universe, would wrestle some guy, but he did. And Jacob overpowered him. We don't know how he did it, but he did. He was winning to the point where God touched his hip and it literally dislocated. But even then, Jacob still didn't give up. He still overpowered God. Why? Why would Jacob keep wrestling God? It was because he was persistent. He was persistent in prayer, and he wasn't going to let God go until he blessed him. This shows a mindset change in Jacob. He was always used to doing it his own way. But here, he's fully relying on God. And God blessed him. In verse 28, we read, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and have overcome." The name Israel means he wrestles with God. And it's interesting to think this and know Israel's history with its struggles. And right after this, Jacob asked for the name of the man, and what was God's response to this? And verse 29 says, "Why do you ask my name?" Very next sentence, "Then he blessed him there," shows that the man who wrestled with Jacob was God himself. So how does this all fit together? It seems like a lot of random stuff, but if you put it all together, it is extremely applicable to you and I today. No, you probably won't put on sparring gloves, and you probably won't walk into the octagon and go toe-to-toe with God. But we surely struggle in prayer. You have those prayers that might not have been answered yet. You might have had those prayers that you think weren't answered. You might even have those prayers that didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to go. But look at Jacob in our story. He wrestled with God even after his hip was dislocated. He didn't give up. and brothers and sisters in Christ, nor should you. God always knows what's best for our current situation. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God shows us human beings that we can pray to him even when our situation seems hopeless or if the hole we're in keeps getting deeper. Any barrier between us and God has been removed. God answered our biggest need, not for a brand new Mac, not for a brand new SUV, not even for a family. And he sent a son, and this wasn't any ordinary boy, but his one and only son who was promised thousands of years beforehand, and he saved you and me. Just as God blessed Jacob, he has blessed us through Christ. An additional blessing is the ability to pray. We can go to God with anything and everything. We can go to him with our deepest troubles. We can go to him with our questions and confusions. And we can go to him with our thanksgiving. He will answer our prayers no matter how big or how small they may be. Jacob's prayer was answered, but in a way that he never expected, and in a way that still made him aware of his weakness with his dislocated hip. In a similar way, yes, our prayers will be answered, but maybe not in a way we expected, or in a way that reminds us of our weakness, but always in a way that blesses us. The struggle is real. And to think that you and I could think back to any year in our lives and know what was causing us to struggle. Think about how often you went to God during these times. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. But look at where God has you now. God has you and a whole group of believers worshiping and praising him for all of the marvelous things he has done. So don't forget this. Regardless of how your life is going, whether you are having a good day or the worst day of your life, go to God in prayer. He will listen to you, just like he listened to Jacob. Thanks be to God that we have a Savior who listens and cares for us, even when our struggles seem too great to bear. Amen.